The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today's topic is the Institute for Family Health's Healthy Families Program. And we have Douglas Keller, who's currently Regional Director of Family Programs at the Institute for Family Health, and Rachel Sennett, who is a Senior Family Assessment Worker. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Vin. Nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Institute for Family Health and how it got started, what its mission is.
Sure. The Institute for Family Health is a federally qualified healthcare center network that was started in Manhattan back in the mid-80s and has since expanded over the years to have many locations throughout Manhattan, the Bronx, recently opened a location in Brooklyn, and in 2007 came to our region upstate here. We have locations in Kingston, Ellenville, New Paltz, Port Ewen, Hyde Park, and Poughkeepsie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What is
Beacon too? I'm sorry.
What is a federally qualified clinic for those of us who might not know?
Sure. So basically, it's a safety net provider. So as a federally qualified healthcare center network, people who need to access medical care can do so, regardless of their insurance status or ability to pay. They will not be turned away. And so here at the Institute for Family Health, we offer a wide range of services, including medical services, dental services, behavioral health, care management, community-based programs such as our Healthy Families program, insurance enrollment, and many other programs that are offered through the network here at IFH. Mm-hmm.
And so is it paid for by a variety of, say, federal funding, I imagine, right? And then
yes.
If there's Medicaid coverage involved or
yes.
private insurance, what if you walk in and you have absolutely no insurance at all? What happens?
So if you have no insurance, you would, depending on your needs, you would be given the opportunity to speak to a doctor or a mental health clinician or a dentist, whatever it is that you need. You would get whatever services were necessary in order to, you know, get you on the road to health. And then you would be connected with a care navigator who would help you access insurance through the New York State of Marketplace, New York State of Health. The funding comes from a variety of sources. The federally qualified healthcare center network part receives funding from the federal government as a safety net provider. The institute also holds a wide range of grants, grant-funded programs that range from healthy families to diabetes care to rural health improvement to substance abuse, and so there's just a wide variety of funding streams. Anything that can help improve the health of the people that we serve.
I've noticed that you guys get a lot of resident doctors in, right? Doctors who are training to be doctors,
correct.
Right? And they stay for a period of time. How does that work? How does that program
work? Yeah, that's correct. We have two residency programs, one here that's run in conjunction with the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, Westchester Medical Center, Kingston Hospital, whatever it is they're called these days. And there's another one also down in Manhattan that's run with, I believe it's Beth Israel or Mount Sinai or something. I'm less familiar with that. But it's a residency training program. So doctors who are accepted into the program do rotations throughout the Institute for Family Health Network where they learn different skills about doctoring. It's mm-hmm. not my field, but you know, I'm familiar mm-hmm. with the program. And so in that way, they get exposed to a wide variety of disciplines within the medical field and then would graduate from that program and can choose to work in the fields under a specialty that they liked or whether family practice or move on to something else.
Are your Ulster County locations open 7 days, or what are the general hours from in most cases?
Yes, so our clinic locations here in Kingston, it is open 7 days, 365 days a year. The locations in other areas are in New Paltz, I believe it's open 6 days a week, Monday through mm-hmm. Saturday. as well as in Port Ewan and Allenville as well. But the Kingston location is open 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
So tell us about the Healthy Families Program. I was reading a little bit about it before the show. It sounds pretty interesting. So tell us how it got started and what it does.
The Healthy Families Program is a free and voluntary program for pregnant and recently parenting families here in Ulster County. What we do is we provide individualized services to these families, whether it has to do with bonding and attachment with a baby, the baby's development, ongoing positive discipline, connecting them with other resources that they might need depending on where they're at, but we really try and formulate it to something that works best for their individual needs. Mm-hmm.
And does that include, do you get the entire family involved? Is that,
yes.
Or is that for single parents or a mix, or how does that work?
We really try and include the whole family, and it doesn't even have to be directly family. Whoever they feel is in their support network is who we're going to include in those visits. So if they have a friend living with them that they feel is part of their family, we're going to make sure that they're included. Other children that they might have are always included in the visits, because everybody is equally as important. We make sure that dads feel really involved because they are such a huge part of the family. Whether they're there for the visits or not, they're always included.
Right, and sometimes a component that's left out of the mix in many cases, right?
Right.
Right. Now, does the program also get involved in prenatal activities too? I mean, or even in family planning, maybe if a family requests it, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we try and work with families prenatally as it is. If we can get them when they're pregnant, that's awesome. It gives us more time to work with them, more time for them to get to know us. After they either have their baby or, you know, whatever their decision is, we can continue to work with them on family planning choices at their request if they want to discuss family planning options, ongoing.
Yeah, there's a wide body of research that proves the effectiveness of healthy families when families are engaged prenatally and have at least 7 home visits. Mm-hmm. And so we try and get in there soon enough so that we can have that time frame in order to reach the best outcomes. Another thing that we look at is the birth spacing for the health of the mother and the child. And so talking about family planning and optimal birth spacing and what is your plan? Do you want to have more children? Do you don't want to have more children? What does that look like for you? What is your family goals? And if there are children or not children, we offer resources and support so the families can meet their goals in that area.
Now, does the program include things like nutritional counseling or vaccination guidance or any of those types of things as well? Or is it the whole spectrum?
Yes, yes, and yes. All of the above. We provide support and education around the health and well-being of the parents and their children, which includes sharing information about recommended vaccine schedules, trying to help them overcome barriers that may prevent them from getting to the doctor's office, whether it's for themselves or their children, offer a lot of information about nutrition. We actually have a collaboration with Philly's Bridge Farm down in Gardner, where they provide us with shares through their food justice program that we redistribute to the families. So families that are enrolled with us get fresh vegetables every week during the growing season, as well as information about how to prepare them. And then we do a field trip at the end of the year to celebrate at Philly's Bridge.
Wow, how great is that? I mean, that's really a great program.
And I should throw in there too, we've also been working with the YMCA farm and had a group there just last week. Mm-hmm. And so we get involved there as well.
Right, they have a great program called Starfish for inner city kids, where it's a summer program, and they get involved in going out to their farm and teaching kids what the vegetables are, and then how to prepare. In a lot of cases, we've heard stories of them bringing them home to their parents and introducing them to these foods that might not have ever shown up on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hear the same thing. What is this vegetable? I've never seen this before.
It's fantastic. So how do you go about identifying people that might be in need of a program services?
So anyone that is pregnant or has a baby under 3 months old in Ulster County is eligible for our program. We have various referral sources. So some of them come directly from the Institute for Family Health. Others are able to refer to us. People are welcome to self-refer. And we just try and get the word out the best we can. And that's where they all come from.
Mm-hmm. So we table at community events in the summer. Too. We do the Blueberry Festival in Ellenville, the Midtown Make a Difference Day up here. We've been at the Women's Health Expo. We go to high school fairs, and we've been in Wallkill and Ellenville and Kingston. And so we go to anywhere that we may think that there may be anyone who might be pregnant. So we try and reach out that way. We work with the Department of Social Services for referrals, with WIC clinics here in Ulster County.
That's right, in our building.
Yep,
right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we'll take referrals from anywhere. Anyone who's pregnant or has a child under 3 months old, we want to know about them, please. Mm-hmm. Let us know, and we'll reach out and see if they're interested in our services.
And does a home visit consist of like a case manager that works with that family, or do you go with a nurse? What does a team look like that you utilize, or does it vary from person to person?
So initially what we do is we have someone who's called a family assessment worker go out to the home, and what they do is they just have a conversation with the family, get to know them a little bit, what their needs might be, what their wants might be, what their family makeup looks like. And after that, they're then connected with what is called a family support worker. And those two go out to the home together to do a warm handoff with the family. And then that family support worker goes with them ongoing for up to 5 years in the program. So they're the one that continues working with them ongoing, weekly, doing those home visits.
Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, looking at the statistics that we keep at the health department, we know that the that maternal mortality rates are up in general, particularly in Ulster County. So it would seem that this program is really a very good preventative measure in that regard.
Absolutely, and that has been shown through the long term. The Healthy Families program here in Ulster County is one of many across the state and across the nation. This is a nationwide program that started back in 1995 and continues to this day. And just as a side note, kind of a bit of pride, that here in New York State, Ulster County Healthy Families was the first Healthy Families home visit in the state back in 1995. And so we've been around since the beginning, and we continue to provide services. And the research over the past 20 years has shown that, indeed, when working with families prenatally, it does improve those outcomes for both maternal and child health.
And probably throughout their lives.
Oh, yeah, imagine,
right?
Absolutely.
Because the good habits that start early continue throughout life. We want to learn more about this, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMC Health, advancing care here.
You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guests today are from the Institute for Family Health, Healthy Families Program. We have Rachel Sennett and Doug Keller. Doug, before the break, you mentioned that this program really has positive effects on health outcomes, both during pregnancy for children and maybe in the longer term. Well, do you have any research that indicates that, or that you wanted to talk about at all?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, Healthy Families has been here in New York and in Ulster County since 1995. And since 2000, the state has undertaken a research project to determine whether or not the program has been affected. And so now it's a longitudinal study that's continuing to this day. And here in 2018, we can see some of those long-term results and effects on the family. So for example, the Healthy Families has been shown to improve birth outcomes. There is a 48% reduction in low birth weights for families that were involved in the Healthy Families program. In addition, the program is successful at reducing incidents of abuse and neglect in families. Reductions of up to 50% have been shown for families in that field. Healthy Families has also been proven to promote school success so that children are less likely, 50% less likely to repeat first grade, and up to 70% more likely to score above grade levels in behaviors that promote learning. And these are at the first grade level. So for families that have been enrolled in the program, these are the outcomes that can be expected. Children are also more likely, up to 2.7 times more likely, to be participating in a gifted program by age 7, and are less often in need of special education services by up to 26%. So there's a lot of great outcomes that are...
Really? I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, depending on the listening audience, if you're a legislator here in Ulster County or a politician somewhere, it has been proven to save money. So every $1,000 that's been spent before a child's during pregnancy is recovered before the child's birth. Savings in the reduction in low birth weight and other services.
Yeah, longer term health care costs, special education costs, those are all really pricey things.
Absolutely. And so by reducing those, by investing in preventative, then you're reducing those costs later on, and Healthy Families has been proven to be preventative for a lot of measures, as we just talked about.
And low birth weight is one of the key factors in the county health rankings as well that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation mentions. You know, it's amazing how helping people with preventative health has so many spin-off benefits. And we know that there are also barriers that keep people from getting the care that they need. And you talked a little bit about, you touched on earlier, about what those barriers are and what they might be and how to overcome them. Can you just describe what some typical ones might be for a family?
Barriers that our families have, they can be really widespread. A huge barrier for the families that we have is just day-to-day stressors that could include housing issues, not having transportation places, not having enough money for the things that they need. Some of our families, actually several of our families, have children that happen to be born ill, and so they're not able to work because they're staying home.
Well, it's really interesting that because we notice in our community health improvement efforts that a lot of public health used to be focused on changing an individual's health behaviors. But the public health world has really come to realize that you can't take an individual or a family out of the total context in which they live their lives and expect them to do better. So you have to look at things like employment and safe and affordable housing and transportation and all of those things. And it seems that this program really addresses a lot of
absolutely. I mean, we'd like to talk about the social determinants of health, and it's exactly what you're describing, those barriers that prevent people from getting health care. If you don't address the barriers, then you're not going to be able to get the individual to get the health care they need. Mm-hmm. So part of what we do does involve trying to address those barriers. We're very family-centered, so if the family identifies a need that they have, then we will provide support, we will provide education, we will make referrals in any way possible. As Rachel mentioned, some of the major issues that we have found here in this area for the families that we work with are a lack of transportation. So if they need to get to doctor's appointments, they can't. You know, if they're not eligible for the Medicaid cab, then they're stuck. They have to rely on friends or they don't
know how to schedule a Medicaid cab.
Right. Absolutely. And then the housing is a huge issue. Yeah, we have a lot of families
that's really one of the big outstanding issues that a lot of communities face and may have neglected over the years as well.
And while we don't provide housing, that's not what we do, we certainly make every effort to connect the families with the services in the community like RUPCO or DSS or family that can help support that and will facilitate those connections for the families because they may not even know what's available.
Right. And we're fortunate to have RUPCO here in this community. There are also a lot of middle-class families and lower income families that are not quite distressed and you know at the lowest level but who are in need of that kind of help. So what kind of referrals are typical? that you said you'd refer them to other services. So what types of things might
those
be?
Right, so depending on the needs, some of the typical referrals might be to a physician or an obstetrician or someone for their
mental health clinicians.
Uh-huh. Mental health clinicians is a big one, yes, absolutely. Housing, again, is a big one. Case management comes up occasionally. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just support groups if they're just, you know, want to have they're kind of isolated. It is kind of a rural area in which we live, and so sometimes they're isolated. So we just say, hey, did you know that these groups are here, or do you want to come to our group so you can have a chance to meet with some other parents that, you know, just to have that social circle.
And that can be tough, too, especially with a new parent, right?
Yeah.
Who's never experienced that before. It can be somewhat isolating.
Absolutely.
Rachel, so what does a typical visit look like? You've been on a number of them. What happens?
A typical home visit is... it's scheduled at whatever time would work for the family, not necessarily what time works best for us. And we go to the house. And what we do is we plan an activity that is specific to the baby's development at that time, or something that the parent may have asked for specifically at a previous visit.
Mm-hmm.
We spend about an hour there working with the family. And there's always like an activity that we bring. So that could look like tummy time for an infant. It could be an activity based around crawling, something like that. And then along with that activity, we always bring out curriculum or some kind of research-based information to support what we're saying and the activity that we're doing and to prove why it's effective. And that's a time for the parent also to kind of just update us on what's going on, ask about questions that they might have, and you know, talk about what they might be looking forward to for the next visit. We also work specifically on like setting goals with the families and working towards those. So it could be something very small, like, you know, I want to go to the grocery store and pick out healthy foods. It could be something larger, like I want to get my own apartment. And whatever that is, we always check in about those and try and make baby steps towards reaching those larger goals.
That's really terrific. That's really great. So Doug, you mentioned earlier as we were talking about events and programs that you have throughout the year. Can you describe some of those for us?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So in addition to the home visits that we provide, we have monthly play groups at our location in Kingston that are available to any of our families to attend. Those are also usually themed based upon the time of the year. The last one I said we had at the YMCA Farm, which was great. We tend to have a really big turnout for our Halloween party because we go all out for that. So we have lots of families that love to come, and we get dressed up and we have trick-or-treating, and a lot of local businesses are kind enough to provide donations of food. And so that's a really great event. We also have a graduation event every summer that we invite all the families to, not just the families that are graduating, where we celebrate the successes of the families. We have food because food like draws people in. So we have food.
So how do people get in touch with you guys if they want to find more information about this great program? Where do they go? How do they do that?
Well, they can call us. Our number is 845-339-8551. They could go to the website, which is healthyfamiliesnewyork.org, and there's information there about how to contact us, and that website would provide information about all the programs in New York State. So if they happen to live in Dutchess County or Orange County or something, they could access there as well. They could go to any of the Institute for Family Health locations and say, hey, I'm interested in healthy families. I heard about it on the radio. And they will make a referral to us.
Really great. Brochures circulating.
Yeah. Right. What a great program. I mean, who knew? I mean, I didn't really know much about it, but it sounds like it's exactly the right approach, comprehensive and integrated and caring. And thank you guys for all of the hard work you do, you and your colleagues. And that's about all the time we have for today. It just went really fast, as it always does.
Yes, well, thank you, Vin. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about the work that we do.
It's our pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep your family, yourself, and your community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.